Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, it's 2:14. It's Valentine's Day 2017, everybody.
And who else better to spend it with than John C. Dvorak?
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's Valentine's. Did you take your loved one out? Did you do something special? Did you buy flowers, chocolate, something?
Well, I got chocolates for everybody, but I did take her out to a Valentine's Day lunch, my wife.
That's nice. I had dinner at a
Since
sports bar.
Since I can't
bar.
Take her out tonight, we're doing the show.
Yeah, no, so I said to my wife, the show's got to go on. It's got to be an emergency. It's got to be something catastrophic.
And what? And quit show business?
Anyway, welcome to everybody in the chat room. Of course, we're live on Tuesday evenings at 9 p.m. You go over to DH Unplugged and check it out. Over there, you just click on the little button, a little chat room will pop up. And hopefully we got all the little bugs and things out there. Sent out a email to everybody. So hopefully this will work a little bit better than it did the last couple of weeks. We put some tweaks in there. Well, markets are up. They're up. They're up. Continue to hit record highs once again. Looked like today was going to be possibly just ever so the smallest chance that there was going to be a down day today with all of the news that came out with the Fed and with the whole thing with the Govy and what a mess, huh?
Well, that's pretty funny.
But somehow it turned around midday, even though rates were going to be going up and all the things with Russia with their, over the weekend we had a ballistic missile fired from North Korea. We have Russia seemingly buzzing warships and all that. Nobody cares. S&P market cap now tops 20 trillion.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, it's our debt.
So what's going on? The big question is, I was thinking, why is this? Why are we seeing that markets have been, doing so well recently? And I think it still boils down to this whole issue of the taxes and the recent another tweet by Trump saying that, quote, over the next 2 or 3 weeks, he said during a meeting with airline executives, there will be an announcement that would be a phenomenal in tax terms. This phenomenal in terms of tax.
Yeah.
So wasn't clear.
Well, everything he does is phenomenal. So in terms of tax.
Wonderful.
But we'll see.
This whole thing is whether it's going to be about the border tax. It's going to be about the U.S. tax system. It's going to be about whatever it is. Did you see this?
I'll bet you. You have any ideas of what you think it's going to be? Because I have one thought.
I think he's just going to try to hit the corporate taxes.
I think he's going to do the repatriation move.
Oh, you think? So that's going to be taxes because, hey, we're going to repatriate this. And so he's going to try to front end and front load the money coming into the treasury.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah, that's the way to go. You get that money right away.
Interesting. That'd be interesting. And then what you can do back on the back end is then you could say, well, we have all this money coming in now, so we could definitely do this infrastructure spending. And so it makes it look a lot better up front. I guess that makes sense.
It does make sense.
You heard it here first. Well, we saw
probably not.
The University of Michigan's preliminary February index of consumer sentiment came in at a reading of 95.7, which is a little bit lower than the January's number of 98.5, which was a 13-year peak, by the way. So there was an expectation of a little bit higher, but it seems that consumers are pretty happy. I think people are generally okay with things. I mean, they're not really going out and buying things, and retail sales. The retail sales number topped estimates. It's up 0.5%. It's not like in China. It's like retail sales up 9%. We get a much smaller incremental move here.
Yeah. How do they do it?
Yeah. They cheat. But it's coming from a low base. I mean, their exports and imports numbers came out in this week. The imports were up like 25% year over year. That's pretty.
Yeah, that's probably going to keep going up. They're finally settling in. You know what I mean?
I understand. They're settling into what?
Into a normal growth normal country's way it does business, the way it grows, the way consumers get in on the act, the way they like stuff from overseas. So instead of just cranking stuff out and shipping it overseas, which is what they've been doing.
They're finally having an internal mechanism, you're saying?
Yeah, and they said that they were going to focus on the internal mechanism because there's enough, you know, people with money that they can sell internally as much as they can sell anywhere. Yeah.
I would agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, more than a lot of people. There's what, three? How many? 1.5 billion?
Well, yeah, I think so, or something like that. I have to look it up. But they have a bigger population of middle class than we do now, and probably more consumers than we do total. I mean, with a lot of leftovers that really can't afford to buy anything. Mm. But that group in the middle, that group that has all the spending power, they're bigger than our market. So they don't really need us as much as they used to get things going.
Well, they've been looking to do that for some time. There's no question that China, which was an export-driven economy for such a long time, there is a substantial amount of internal demand that they're trying to do. And that was the whole idea of turning the economy around. And if it's really happening right now, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that may actually improve our outlook if we can get our exporting together.
Yeah. So
maybe Trump will do. It's possible.
It's possible. Well, now it looks like the Fed is all concerned, though, about a lot of the things that are happening in the U.S. And they're really, all of a sudden, they're getting quite hawkish. As a matter of fact, almost every speaker that has been out, besides maybe one in the recent week or so, has been talking about, well, yeah, we think we can raise rates and we think that we could see a much better economy. And even though there's some questions about, you know, how the Trump various plans are going to play and what's going to happen moving forward, it's going to this whole issue where we think it's going to be better. We're going to see inflation and we're going to have to move. And Janet Yellen today was in Congress. She was providing testimony and she said new fiscal policies could impact demand and lift productivity. There's a potential for a faster rate hike policy. And she talked about talking about this whole roll-off, this big issue about rolling off debt in terms of how debt would, the debt that they currently have would be reducing over time. Because I think they have, you know, close to $4 trillion on their balance sheets, and they're reinvesting all of the income, they're reinvesting all of the principal rollover. So the question is, that was a big question, what are you going to do? And they really didn't answer it. We'll let it roll off. We'll just keep on doing it right now. We're not going to have too much, selling of this at all. And it's going to be an orderly process. They're not starting the process yet, but they will. But I mean, this is kind of, you know, your whole bailiwick in terms of this bond disaster. I guess,
right.
Does it start when they start rolling this off?
I don't know. I think it just starts when the law goes into effect. Or the acceptance of the FASB, which I think it is a kind of a law or something y'all have to do. And this change in the way you present the numbers.
Yeah, FASB.
That starts in July and continues for a year. And by next July, it has to be fully implemented across the board in every state and every city.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's going to happen right away. It might happen in advance. It may be an ongoing thing. I think it's going to happen as kind of like it's going to start happening. And then it's just the process as I imagine it. I mean, I could be dead wrong on how it's going to roll out to charge the bond market. But it seems to me they're going to start doing this. They're going to start putting these numbers out there. And then somebody's going to notice it. And they're going to freak. And they're going to, as soon as they freak and point it out, point the finger and jump up and down, everybody else will freak, and then it'll be a collapse. It'll be really fast.
Well,
believe it's going to be a slow thing.
Let's take a look a little bit lower on the show notes. And by the way, you'll be able to find all the show notes on dhunplugged.com. Just go over there after the show, and we'll post all the different charts that we're looking at and the various notes, et cetera. You can also follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter @TheRealDvorak and myself, Andrew Horowitz. Just one word, Andrew Horowitz. on Twitter. But go down a little bit and you see here it says Japan, the largest holder of treasuries.
Yeah.
And they cut their stake. So here's a really interesting chart. And there's a big controversy. There's a big chart that pops up here. There's a big controversy as to, well, is this something recent, you know, towards the end? This was annually, but towards the end of the year, it really picked up.
Yeah, I see it.
Is this because of, oh, Trump is in and they're going to start, you know, worrying about all this protectionism and this kind of border, you know, this tariff issue and renegotiating of the trade deals? Or is this something different? Is it just, you know, is it left over from, you know, the poor situation with President Obama? And they said, you know, we don't like how the government's being run. There's a big controversy of, you know, was it Obama's legacy or is it because of Trump's new administration?
Well, it flatlined with Obama.
Yeah.
According to this. And in fact, the numbers on here, it flatlined with Obama in 2015 and then it went down to net sales in 2016, all Obama. That's all Obama. This may actually go up the other way, like in the next when I don't know how they report these numbers, but during the next reporting period, it may show some signs of either flat line, going back to flat as opposed to going down this much, or if it goes down more, I'd have to say then they just hate the government because they started hating it with Obama. I mean, even although when Obama got in, you saw in 2008, this thing skyrocketed, and it may turn around and start going up again because, you know, every time you have a new president, well, and he's going to try to get the economy going. He's trying to, you know, stabilize things. He's trying to repatriate all that money that's overseas. He's trying to do all these things. We'll see.
The interesting,
but I think this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Well, the thing here is, I think what's interesting about this is that the big spikes we see in 08 and through 14, let's say, from 08 to 14. Remember something that for a long time there was and still is, an incredible disparity between the rates of interest that are paid on bonds and of treasuries of countries outside of the U.S., particularly because Japan is pushing them to negative rates and zero-lined, and Europe is doing the same thing. So it makes sense. What do you have to do? Well, just simply just take money from those countries, either sell bonds and short them and arbitrage it into U.S. treasuries, get a couple of percent here, and, you know, you're not losing any money by shorting them over there. And if the government keeps on buying it, you know, continually, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But the question is that spread has widened, and you have to wonder if it's widening, why is there still all these sales going on? Now, Japan was a big seller.
You could also look at this chart, and people should do that, and suggest that, well, it's gone down so much because it's over. Look at all the overbuying. This was ridiculous, this amount of buying. Trying to maybe stabilize a little bit.
And maybe they were going back into some of the European bonds that have there's a realization that we're going to start raising rates and they're going to start losing money, whereas in Europe and Japan and other areas around the world, there's a continuation of the same strategy of quantitative easing they're going to be buying.
They're not very sincere about their quantitative easing, it seems to me.
Where? The rest of the world?
In Europe, especially.
I mean, that's sincere. They're doing $80 billion a month.
Nothing close to the vigor that we had. We just cranked it up.
They're doing 84. I beg to differ here. Okay, let me tell you something. The amount, the size of the bond market in the U.S. compared to the size of the bond market in Europe, okay? Europe, what they've had to do because there's like no more bonds to buy, they've had to actually start buying bonds of banks and other alternative assets. Here, we were doing $60 billion a month. In Europe, they're doing like close to almost $60 to $80 billion a month, which are much, much smaller bond pool. That's why they're going significantly lower in rates than we are. I totally disagree with you on this.
Okay, well, I don't see that much activity, at least in so far as the QE is concerned. I thought that was just kind of overall buying from the public and everybody else, not from the government.
The ECB is buying $60 to $80 billion a month,
well, then I'm wrong.
A large number, large.
That is a large number.
Yeah. And again, from a much smaller
pool. And have they been doing this? How long have they been doing it?
3 or 4 years now. Hmm. They saw how well it worked for Japan, then how well it worked for us. They said, let's just get in there too.
We'll take a chance.
Yeah. Let's talk about the S&P 500 for a second. About 70% of the S&P 500 companies have issued quarterly results so far for the fourth quarter of the year, their earnings, et cetera. Zacks Estimates Research noted that more than 69% of the S&P components have beaten their earnings per share estimates, and more than 54% have surpassed revenue forecast. That's pretty much right on. That number is, you know, when you look at that, pretty much we always say about 70% beat on EPS and about 55% to 60% beat on revenue. And again, that's, it's about beating. That doesn't mean it's better. You can have horrible earnings, but they're better than analyst expectations and everybody's all excited. It's a real screwy world. It's all about beating the expectation. It's kind of like lowering the bar and you get over it anyway. It's like, ah, hooray, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So now here's the one thing that's really interesting and where things, again, are better when you look at this on a statistical basis. We have total quarter earnings on the for the fourth quarter for the S&P 500 are projected to rise about 7.5% over the same quarter. We always look at a same quarter a year ago. That's the way to look at it because of seasonality. You can look quarter to quarter, but usually look over a year. So over a year ago, we're seeing that now it's going to, we're seeing about a 7.5% increase. And this is the strongest annual earnings growth since quarter four of 2014. Now, the big problem here is, once again, statistics. The number that we're looking at is comparing to a very low base. Now, it's good that we're growing. There's no question about that. But we were stagnant on earnings. And actually, we saw about eight quarters consecutively of earnings decline. Markets didn't care either about that, by the way. But we saw earnings decline for about eight quarters up until about, I would say, the middle third quarter of 2016. So this 7.5% rise, which, again, is a very significant number, is still off of a low base. So it's back to lowering the bar again and hopping right over it.
Well, the market looks good.
Yeah, well, the market does look good. Nothing can stop the market. Although Goldman Sachs, you know, these guys, they try to pick, they've picked a couple of real bad ones this year. They were really negative on copper. Copper, you know, screamed higher. They were negative on a bunch of things. Well, according to Goldman Sachs, let me see if I can say this correctly. Trump enthusiasm is running out.
Yeah, supposedly. Maybe
Trump,
it is.
Trump enthusiasm. For the first time in this expansion, we suspect markets will soon be discovering and digesting a mix of low growth, rising inflation, and tighter monetary policy, concludes the strategist. So when you look at this, there is, if you look at this commentary here, so I would agree with rising inflation. We see that the PPI came out at 0.6% today versus 0.3% last. If you annualize that, we're talking about almost a 7% PPI rate, run rate of a year. That's pretty hot. PPI is the wholesale inflation rate. In other words, manufacturers, they buy materials, they buy goods, and what happens there is that they produce it, and what is their cost of finished products. And then you pass it on the next level to the consumer. And what's the cost of the consumer products? That's the actual inflation rate or CPI. So if you see an increase in we'll see, I think, CPI tomorrow or Thursday. Tomorrow or Thursday. PPI always comes out first. And then you have it coming out with the CPI second, which makes sense. That's the right way to do it. You get the manufacturing side, then you get the final side. So we are seeing that there is
how much does it lag usually?
They're relatively tight. Oh, the inflation is a month ago. There's a report from a month ago or a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So I agree with rising inflation. That seems to be definite.
Well, I've always, every time I see these Goldman Sachs public pronouncements, and it goes back to, besides the housing thing and besides the old version of the oil that was going to go to 200.
Yeah, peak oil.
I wonder what other things they're not telling us that they may be investing in. That's what I'm always thinking.
Because I've never seen,
I don't think these guys are honest in that regard.
Well, I mean, I think they're talking their book. So I'm not sure what they're thinking here. If they're thinking that if you translate this to saying, well, this whole market move recently is based on an enthusiastic audience, enthusiastic investors. that is not really seeing the full picture. And because of low growth and rising, but you know, the problem here is,
which is what we've been saying on the show forever.
Yeah, this is true. This is there's no question about this. The question though really is that at the end of the day, okay, so that's fine. If the market was actually being priced right now on true economics of where we are and what the near term is going to be with what we know, markets would nowhere be near these levels. The markets are actually trying to price in all the different components of the new agenda of taxes, repatriation, of lower regulatory hurdles, and of infrastructure spending. That's not in place yet. That's not at all, at all anywhere to be found. But yet markets are pricing this. That's why even on a significant headwind that we saw where there's some question about the administration now, and let's not even talk about Kellyanne Conway and all the other things that are going on here. And the question of is this situation with Flynn going to kick back to Trump? Now they're saying he knew about it for weeks. And is that somehow going to discredit him and cause him to have much more
the
trouble?
The market to collapse.
Yeah, or
that
much
won't go over.
No. Well, will it or won't it? Because at the end of the day, if they only do the tax deal, if they only cut corporate taxes, markets will be happy. I do believe that.
I think so too. It's been a long overdue. I don't understand why these other guys haven't done it.
Yeah. Well, the big question is going to be at the end of the day, the Tea Party and the Republicans that are deficit hawks, how are they going to put up with a lot of this? Are they going to just roll over?
They're already grousing.
Yeah, grousing. I love when you say grousing.
You like the word.
Yeah, I like the word. And every time I go to a liquor store and I go down the scotch aisle and they have the, I think it's called the Famous Grouse. It's a scotch.
Yeah, right. It's one of these scotches.
I think of you.
Oh, well, thanks.
The famous grouse. Question quickly in the chat room was, where do we get historical earnings composite for the S&P? I mean, you can get it from Bloomberg. You can get it from Zacks. You can get it directly from S&P. Actually, S&P has, if you go to spglobal.com, I believe it is, there's a place you could kind of look at the research, and there's a place to download a spreadsheet that is done by a gent who's been on my show, The Disciplined Investor, many times. And of course, I can't remember his name, but he's been on it several times. Good guy. And I can see his face and I can't remember his name. Anyway, he puts these out and you can check those out. All right, let's talk about, here's a shocker. I have a shocker for you. You need to be sitting down for this one, okay?
I tend to be sitting anyway.
Okay. Fossil, the watch company, missed earnings and had a horrible outlook.
Yeah, this is a stunner to me. You know why?
Why is that?
I didn't know they were still in business.
Yeah. Well,
do they just have, it's a very strange company. I mean, I went to a press deal they threw about 10 years ago. And I always kind of liked the people running that company, but I just can't imagine how they can stay in business. I just, you know, who buys watches?
Well, obviously not that many people.
Right. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing this.
And this is, you know, Michael Kors is now thinking about buying Kate Spade. Because obviously, Michael, there's a consortium of names that are coming up in this whole Kate Spade purchase. And I'm not going to name any names because it's kind of a family member, but I was recently on a trip to another state and it was a city and they brought me to, they said to me, Andrew, you got to check this out. We're selling watches. So what do you mean? Oh, it's big. Again, really, how big is this? The big faced watches, like really gaudy, not gaudy like as in bejeweled, but just gigantic watches, which I guess are in to a degree.
Yeah, they are in to a degree.
Right. But they're starting a whole new company based on this. Now, the second product.
It's a fad.
The second product. Do you know what the second product is in the stores?
Socks?
Phonograph.
Oh, yes. Phonographs.
Not phonograph. Yeah. Phonographs? What's it called?
It's a phonograph. I had I got one of those from my daughter and her boyfriend who when for last Christmas. I bought him one. Because he's a musician and everybody's got these old vinyl records they want to play on these devices, which are kind of junky. But, you know, they had it's not, you know, what I would call a hi-fi piece of gear. But it's like something that all these kids are into. And there's a pizza place up in Port Angeles which actually has the best pizza in town. And you go, it's run by a bunch of millennials, and you go in there, they make an outstanding product, and they have a phonograph sitting there playing music in the store.
Yeah, I would. But we know that albums are back to vinyl. You got to buy vinyl and all that. Everything goes backwards. But again, I think that's a fad also.
It's a total fad.
Yeah, it's very tough to take those running.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe they'll get the old cassette back and you can go running with those.
Yeah, but you could take them maybe possibly if it's battery operated in your own personal drone. Seems that passengers are being now slated to be carried by drones in Dubai. It's a Chinese-made Ehang 184, which is an egg-shaped craft with four legs sticking out and two small propellers. Now, I don't know about you, but they call it a drone. It's sounds like a helicopter, but okay.
Well, it sounds more like a what do you call it, quadcopter?
Yeah, or a duocopter, whatever you
just. It's a quad. It's got four legs with two propellers on each leg.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha. There's a picture here. Take a look at this picture. And it looks like there's enough room for one person.
Something like this. Yeah. Okay, so you get in that thing and you punch in where you're going. It lifts off. And then tries to find a parking space. What happens after that?
I'm just laughing, looking at all the garb of the people behind that picture. You see it?
Yeah. Well, that's actually those white outfits, those dish dashes. Are if you're in Dubai, you don't want to be wearing a dark suit. Let me put it that way.
There's plenty of people with that on as well.
They're crazy. They'd be sweating like a pig.
Yeah. So this is going to be. It seems the rider punches in a destination on a touchscreen in front of the passenger seat, and the drone will fly there automatically. Now, that's fine if there's a dozen of these.
Well, it's fine. We're right. There's point number one. And it's also fine if there's a place to put it down.
Right. And yeah, that's a good point. So that you put it down. Again, if there's a dozen of them, no problem with parking spaces or rooftops or
whatever,
wherever it is. And you can't just fold this thing up and put it into your pocket.
No.
You know?
Well, I think once you park it somewhere, it must go to just specific locations where then you get out and walk the rest of the way and somebody else gets in and uses it. It has to be done that way. You can't just use it yourself and then let it sit there for 10 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So, the Uber drone. It has an hour and a half flight time. It'll be monitored remotely by a control room on the ground, which I guess they'll just watch. Great idea. Fun. Now, if you know, everybody's into drones. Although the whole drone craze has kind of a little bit been subdued, don't you think? We haven't heard as much about this anymore.
Well, I don't know why that is, because it's not as though they stopped selling them.
Oh, funny people in the chat room. All right, let's talk about Twitter.
Jokers.
Yep.
Jokers in the chat room.
Yep. Lip licker. Little picker. Is that a drone in your pocket? Twitter earnings were not so good. Did you see the earnings?
I missed the earnings on Twitter.
So did they.
Ha ha! Woo! Nice one.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to do that one again in the future.
Yeah. So even with the Trump bump, they call it, with the, you know, by the way, Obama president, or ex-former President Obama has like 89 million followers. And this should really burn Trump. And he's got, I think Trump's got 24 million.
Yeah, something like that. I just looked at it.
Yeah, he's probably really unhappy about that. But so based on the forecast Twitter gave for the first quarter, the company's revenue could decline another 9 to, they're really trying to give you very precise numbers here. 9 to 26%.
Yeah, that's very precise.
Yeah, from the first quarter of 2016.
When they just put a question mark there instead.
Now, let me tell you something. I, for the first time ever recently, promoted a tweet. I spent $100.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah. I don't know anything about promoting a tweet. Yes. I've always wanted somebody to explain it.
So what you do is...
I could have looked it up, but I'd rather have you explain it.
Yeah, there's a couple of ways to do this. So it's very easy from the app just to click a button. Do you want to promote the tweet? Yes. Put in your credit card and all that. Click the button. How much do you want to spend? Done. And just... So they tell me that I was going to get, what did they say? Something like 89,000 views, 475 clicks. That's the estimation.
For $100?
For $100.
Now, where does it say? I've never seen anything asking me to if I want to promote the tweet.
Look at your tweet and look. Are you on the?
No, I don't have. I can't do it on this machine.
Well, when you get on your machine, look at the little sidebar that has the statistics, the little bar chart there.
Yeah.
And it will show you how many times your tweet has been seen and clicked on, link your reply to, liked, whatever. And it will say somewhere in there, promote tweet.
Huh.
So
it cost you $100.
I did it just for the you know, to find out what this is all about. So I think I got.
But if you paid $200, would that get twice as much stuff?
Theoretically, yes. They'll send. I don't know how they put this out, but what I did notice was that I did get. I think on that tweet, it wasn't an exciting tweet. It wasn't like a tweet that I set up to be a nice picture and a good tagline. It wasn't like that at all. I just said, whatever. Here's a podcast. Click the button. Send it off. Right. So I probably could have done a better job at this whole thing of trying to have a real nice looking tweet to, you know, have everybody click it. But so I think I got, you know, 75,000 views of sorts. Okay. I think there was like 89 or 100 clicks to the website. You know, click-throughs.
Yeah, weren't they guaranteeing you more?
They didn't say they guaranteed. This is their estimate.
So you got 100, but they estimated 400?
Yeah. So the first thing is, what I did after the fact was, there's a much, again, this was just a few clicks. There's a much greater depth of targeting available on their website if you want to pay for the promotion. So in other words, that same $100 I could have done, and I could have targeted into different ways. I could have targeted it to maybe a different age group, let's say, or something. I could have done different targeting, different times, different days, different somethings, maybe did some more, you know, inside the tweet to promote. There's a bunch of things you could do there. There's a lot of much more like Facebook, not as intense as Facebook, but much more like that. But in the end of the day, I was kind of not very impressed with the whole thing. It was much more complicated than I think Facebook is. Facebook, you know, once you have a promotional account, it's right on your Facebook page. It's easy to click and, you know, turn things on and off and set the timing and dates and things like that. So you know, I'm not a big fan of the Facebook ads either. That's not my thing. You know, it could get very expensive. I mean, we were doing some work for somebody on a website. It was like $500 or $600 a month in just Facebook ad advertising. And who knows what happened with that? You get a lot of clicks. One of the things I did notice was there was a lot of demographic information available on the Facebook side. Do you know on this where we were spending $500 a month on a promotional deal, what the breakdown was, male, female? Any ideas? And it was for, let me give you one more piece of information. It was a financial related website / campaign. Okay. So it was financial. No.
Well, that changes a little bit, but just the basic way that Facebook appears, especially with the enthusiasm of the women, I would say it was still 55% women.
75%.
Holy women?
Yep. And about, I would say about 80% or maybe even more mobile.
Yes.
And
yeah, mobile, same thing with Twitter. And a lot of stuff is now. In fact, when we send out the No Agenda newsletter, I always check these things. And it's like 80% of the people are reading it off a phone.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Mobile mobile is like 80%. So
yeah, the phone is a big deal. The people, you always have to give it up. It's luckily the MailChimp program has now, I mean, this happened a few years ago, but they make it so if you choose the right templates, it's always phone compatible.
But the problem is with the phone is that I don't think from what I can see, like I said, I don't get, as far as I know, I don't see many ads on Facebook and I don't see many ads on Twitter. I think I've seen one in the last month on Twitter on the mobile side. So I don't know where that's the point. They're not making revenues. But on Facebook, I don't see much ads unless they're so well. They usually say sponsored on it if it's an ad. I just don't see them. I don't see them. I look.
Maybe the whole thing's a scam.
Maybe. I look. Anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting. So here we have Twitter out with earnings. It's the first revenue decline since the company went public about 3 years ago. Now Wall Street is running out of all these, you know, tweet one-liners, all the analysts like bye-bye birdie, was a headline in Susquehanna International's recap of the earnings. Twitter, Can't Fly with Broken Wings was by UBS. And yeah, who had the last laugh? It was down 12%. But who had the last laugh? Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, just announced today that he bought about $7 million worth of stock yesterday and today.
Well, that's an insider trade worth noting.
Yes.
But is it that out of desperation? Is the problem is with, again, we talk about the insider trading and how to kind of interpret it. I don't know. He's not going to throw his money away. $7 million even to him is where I think he's a billionaire, though.
He is a billionaire.
That may actually mean nothing to him.
It may not.
I don't know.
But it's a vote of confidence. It is a vote of confidence.
Yeah, that must be it. Because I don't think I'd get on the bandwagon for Twitter. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where is the upside? And once Trump has talked out of, or kill, he'll probably, I think, still tweet, but it's only going to be when somebody makes an accusation that he needs to correct.
And the other problem you have with Twitter, I mean, we know, okay, great. They have a lot of users and we understand, what it's all about and how it works and the benefits of it. Although, I don't know. I mean, I think that it is a good utility and I think it has some value. And I think that really that because of it's really, it's Facebook is not lightweight. Facebook is heavy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of crap on there. Twitter is light. The only problem with that is because it is so light, it's easily able to be replicated. And let's just kind of skip down to something for a second. You talk about some of these things. These companies with massive amounts of money are constantly moving into others' turf. Amazon being one of the major ones, with the Amazon movies now and all that. Well, Amazon has Amazon Prime. They just came out with something today called Amazon Chime.
What's Amazon Chime?
Yep. I thought you'd never ask. As they describe it, frustration-free online meetings with exceptional audio and video quality.
Oh, GoToMeeting.
It's like GoToMeeting. And actually, I want to check it out. I put the link. By the way, there's a lot of links in this particular show. You can go check out things. Yes, it's Amazon Chime. Chime. On the news, log me in. Symbol LOGM got whacked by about 8.5%. The highest cost per month for this service is $15. And log me in and WebEx and all that is much more expensive. But I looked at the features. Now, one of the things that I would be interested in if I was going to utilize this is, okay, a good meeting, an online meeting. One of the things that I like to have is like drawing tools, recording features, things like that. This doesn't have any of that from what I can see.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah, it's more of a, as I see it, it's more of
If it's a Skype killer.
It's kind of like an online meeting, screen sharing, collaborative thing, which is and you can actually take over the control of somebody else's computer, remote access.
I don't like that.
But it's not presentation mode as I see it, or it's not at least there now.
Chime.
Amazon Chime. There's a link right there that will take you right to the website. It's like, I don't know what the link is. Amazon. Let's see. It's chime.aws. Chime.aws. But again, I thought it was interesting. But this is once again, what I'm talking about here is it's these companies that have, for example, like an Amazon or a Google or an Apple that have the infrastructure for hosting and for, having various platforms run on their systems is very interesting, the question is somebody going to finally come in and swoop in on this whole Twitter thing? And there's other Twitters like Weibo in China. And I'm not, Snapchat is not a Twitter. I mean, Twitter is one to many or, one to many and also one to one it could be. But it's a, group messaging. What is it, right? It's all it is.
More or less,
it's a gigantic group messaging. So, I just thought it was interesting. Check out that Amazon Chime because I was unimpressed. I went through everything on it. I went through almost every page they had, all the help, all the things that I was kind of interested in. I thought it would be interesting, but no. By the way, just a side note, the Miami Boat Show is this weekend.
Oh, you going to go?
Yeah, Friday. I got two boat trial runs in the ocean lined up.
You're going to take a boat ride?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take, I have two scheduled trials. We call them sea trials of two different boats we want to look at on Friday.
What's wrong with your boat?
It's not big enough. You know, you get a boat, you got to get bigger. We're not going to buy, I'm not buying a new one, but I'm going to look at this. And then next weekend, something that you should be interested in, you'll be excited about this, is the SoBe, or the South Beach Wine and Food Festival.
Oh, that's probably interesting.
Yeah, I have two things that lined up for that. So the first thing I have lined up is Saturday night, which is the Kobaya. Remember I told you about that, that guinea pig thing where...
All right, right, you're going to eat some pigs.
No, but there's a big one. There's a pretty...
Capybara.
This one's very impressive. All these chefs are coming in. We don't know what they're cooking. We don't know what they're having. You sit down, you just eat. They come out with the best ways. And then on Sunday night, Andrew Zimmern, you know him, right?
Yeah, the guy who eats anything.
Yeah. He is hosting down on Miami. They're closing off the street and they're recreating an Asian street food market. That's going
to
be.
So, how bored are you down there in Florida with the.
Bored. So much to do. Come on down.
Sounds like they're pushing it.
What do you mean they're pushing it? It's season.
Okay.
This is the season.
Oh, yeah, right. Middle of winter.
Yeah. All right, how do we feel about this? A Republican plan to dismantle Wall Street regulations would strip the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau of many of its powers.
What are its powers? I don't see that it's done anything.
But it does – whatever its powers are to protect the consumer from –
from what?
From
– I don't get protected from phony baloney phone calls. I don't get protected from anything that I can tell. I don't get protected from all the – phony bank charges. I don't get protected from all the phone charges that show up that who knows where that money goes.
Well, let's think about all the things that maybe aren't happening to you right now that maybe they are in fact keeping down.
Okay.
Right?
Name a few.
Maybe credit card, only letting credit charge cards charge you 22%, 23% instead of 50%.
Well, there's something.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to do with fees on, maybe excessive fees on accounts, excessive fees on commissions from stockbrokers or something like that. I mean, you know, there may be some things that you don't know about in the back end. But the point is that how bad is it that they're actually going to eliminate the consumer complaint database, which I don't know, you know, scaling back its enforcement abilities. Who's coming up with this?
I don't know.
I mean, it's really, even though.
But I don't see what the point of it is. I mean, it's not killing business or anything. It's not doing that much. Or maybe it's just over. Maybe we're just spending too much on it, not getting the results we want.
Hopefully they're going to come up with something new. That's all I can say. Oh, let's see here. What else we got?
I'd like to see something done about a lot of stuff that's not being done at all. I just see it as a powerless mechanism that probably is costing millions and millions of dollars.
Well, this anyway. Definitely holds. There's no question, but I can't see stripping it even further and then allowing. It's like, you know, letting the crazy people run amok.
Could be.
We mentioned following John on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. Myself, Andrew Horowitz, of course. If you love the show, if you have to, one of the beautiful things of this time of year, it's time to get your tax return. You know, you file all that, you get it for a couple of bucks back, and what better thing to do than to actually send in a donation so that we can keep this thing running.
I think it's a great idea.
As a matter of fact,
but our donations doesn't really affect anyone's taxes.
No. I'm just trying to do a grab on their tax returns.
Oh, you mean when they get some money back?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should send some to us.
I think that's only, as a matter of fact, I put a letter into the IRS to see if they can put, you know how they have, you know, would you like to donate a dollar to the presidential election campaign?
Yeah, I always laugh at that.
Yeah, I want to put DH Unplugged on there. would you like to have a few bucks go to DH Unplugged? I think that's only reasonable. And if you're listening, if you enjoy what we talk about, if you, you know, get some stock ideas, I know a lot of you do, you know what? Reach deep, or at least part of the way down into your wallet and go to the donation. There is right on the website a bunch of donation buttons on there. Let's talk about the close to the pin. The latest one up is Netflix, which you, my friend, have not provided me your number.
Oh, did I miss the deadline?
Yeah, you missed the deadline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
I saw it too, and I said, oh, I'm going to do that in a few minutes. I did somehow have something happen, and I lost track of it.
Well, we are officially, by the way, I think after this, the next few, the only winners can have a size, can be a size small. I'm out of the large and extra large. We're just ordered another batch.
Oh yeah. Well, you'll get them in time.
But please, only go in the next ones that we announce.
Yeah, only be small.
Only small sizes.
Give it to your daughter or give it to your wife or something.
I had some people that were working on the office the other day. They were doing some painting and a few things, and they saw the shirts. They're like, hey, this is money. Can I have one? I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, I said, but don't, of course, he was a big guy. I said, take a small. I have none left. But that's good. So, you know, we have Close to the Pin on the D8 Unplugged website. Check that out. Going along. All right. Now we have to talk about some interesting things that are going on. Did you see this? Did you see this situation in Hawaii with the Federation Cup tennis tournament where?
No.
Oh, this you got to bring this up to Adam, too.
What? Yeah, okay.
It seems the USTA made an embarrassing error. They played the Nazi era version of the Germans' national anthem.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, they were up in arms about this. The version played, including the first stanza beginning with Deutschland, Deutschland, Uber Alles, which is used as Nazi propaganda.
I think a lot of people think they still play that song. Deutschland, Uber Alles, yeah.
So, yeah, they were very upset about this whole thing. I don't know who got their hands on that. You know, was it just look it up on, you know.
It could have been somebody playing a gag.
Oh, they were not happy. They were very happy.
Now, hey, I saw a tweet you made about Playboy now having nudes again.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Well, his was funny about it. I've been so, you know, uninterested in Playboy, you know, since college that I didn't even know they stopped having nudes.
Yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you always heard the old, oh, I read it for the
Articles.
For the articles. Fabulous.
In the 70s, by the way, in the 1970s, the articles were outstanding, and they paid a lot of money for those articles.
It was like Rolling Stone for a while. They had some good political stuff in there, and even Vanity Fair for a while, and then everything just went to hell in a handbasket with all these guys.
The problem with Playboy is writing articles are just a bunch of low-paid people.
Yeah, the problem with Playboy was they actually believed their bullshit that people were really reading it for the articles.
Oh,
that's what happened. Oh, you know what? Why are we paying all this money to have all
Why do we have all these naked women in here? Let's just run some good articles. Make it a quarterly.
Yeah. So they are back after about a year, and they've changed some of the formatting of how the nudies are positioned. I wonder if they did the same thing with Playgirl magazine.
Wow, there's a callback. Do they even still make that magazine?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
In the world of that we live in with the internet and the easy access to porn, why would anybody want a magazine?
I don't know.
Magazines don't have that private mode on the browser, you know? All right, we got to talk about Sears Holdings. They reported.
Yeah, by one of my insider picks, and you mocked me for it.
Did you buy it recently?
No.
Oh. Well, here's what's interesting. They reported a 10% drop in comparable store sales for the holiday quarter and said it would cut its debt and pension obligations by at least $1.5 billion this year. I don't know what that's going to, how does that miraculously happen?
That is a question.
The company also going to be launching a plan to cut costs by at least $1 billion in 2017, which translates to you're fired. That's how they're going to cut costs. They're going to close stores. They're going to fire people. And the only thing that I can think that they're going to do is by cutting, and then also cutting its pension obligations because you're fired. Cutting the debt, the only thing that they're going to probably be able to do here is, you know, do a secondary, I would think, try to bring some money in and reduce its debt load so it doesn't have to pay. Now, here's the funny thing. Stock was up 30% after the news.
Yeah.
And it was starting to move up again today. It was up actually 50% at one point after this.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
A lot of short covering.
Again, if you remember, I had the insider dope on that. It looks like it paid off.
Yep. Let's see what we have. Amazon.
By the way.
Oh, yes.
You know, Sears and Montgomery Wards before it really could have been the logical people, along with Finger Hut, logical people to become Amazon.
Right.
So what happened?
I don't know. Blockbuster. Right. Blockbuster should have been Netflix.
Should have been.
Right.
Yeah. What happened?
And we could probably go down the list of things that, you know, that this goes on. It just, for whatever reason, listen, go back and harken back to the days of the Xerox lab. All the things that they created that they didn't do crapola with, like the mouse.
Yeah.
And all the other things they created, but the laser printer, I believe it was also.
The laser printer for sure. They did get into that business. But eventually it took forever. The mouse, I think, was invented at Lockheed or some other place, but they used the mouse, the newer mouse on the Xerox Star, which was like the Macintosh. They could have easily made the Macintosh.
Yeah.
And so there's that. Yeah.
I'm going to hold these. We don't have that much time left. I'm going to hold these two stories till next week. The story about the U.S. Postal Service and its losses, as well as the Amazon's cost of shipping. Because I want to talk about something that I just don't understand. Domino's Pizza. First of all, I know how they're a great company. They're more of a technology company in terms of delivery these days. And, you know, they're really good at what they do in terms of, you know, their margins on dough. But now they're announcing that they're launching a wedding registry.
Yes, I saw this. It was the funniest thing ever.
A wedding registry.
Yeah.
They said that our registry aims to bring couples together over their shared love of pizza.
It's a gag. It's one of these joke promotions. It's like Taco Bell and the Liberty Taco Bell.
Well, but here's the problem. Our registry aims to bring couples together over their shared love of pizza. First of all, if they love pizza, they're not buying Domino's.
I would say that's, yeah, okay. Probably true.
We often hear from our customers that Domino's was part of their big day, from proposals to after-hour meals at their wedding. We want to make it easier for people to ask and receive something that they could really use. I don't even know what you could possibly buy here. What is it? You register? I'd like to buy 12 pies with pepperoni. I'd like that to be part of my wedding registry. That's stupid.
It's pretty funny. Got your attention.
It got my attention because it's just one. But I agree with you. It is so far fetched. It's like the potato we talked about last week. We talked about the potato, yeah. Right?
Yes, what potato?
The potato with the ad for the fake ad that was the 30-second worst Super Bowl commercial that was for...
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was last week. If you want to see the things, listen to last week's episode. We talk about the 30-second potato commercial. Let's see here. All right, let's finish off with a stupid story, and we'll get to a listener question, a few other things. We'll get to that next week. But the stupid thing of the week... Before we do that, let's finish off on a good note. What are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
That's funny. I was thinking about this earlier. It actually relates to the show.
You're doing a profile on me?
Yeah, I'm profiling you. No, it's a pretty good article too. In fact, that was something that was galling me in the this morning because I had a different day. I was going to write about Linux. And I said, you know, that's too boring. Let me see what I want to write about, and let me just get it and open it so I can. So, oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I know everyone thinks I'm nuts because I can't remember my own columns.
You've written a lot.
I wrote about Gina Romney, our IBM person, who's killed telework at IBM, and IBM was one of the biggest promoters of this idea, with huge reports on how you should do it, and how come it's going to save so much money, it's going to do this and that. And now she says, nah, we're nixing it just the same way Marissa Meyer did. And I kind of imply that these women CEOs who are – telework really benefits women, I think even much more so than men, because they can have – you know, they can be at home with the kid and do their work. And it's been proven over and over again that it's very efficient and it's better than working in an office.
You're showing your age.
And what?
Well, that women are supposed to be home with the kid.
No, they're not supposed to be home with the kids, but a lot of them have kids. They're working mothers. They have to find some work or something that they can do. A lot of them need to be home unless they want to pay exorbitant fees for babysitters. And I don't think it's showing my age at all. I think it's just the obvious thing. You see it. You hear it. I call PR people up, and I hear the baby crying because they're working at home. And so now they're killing us, and I think this is the death knell for telework. It's gone right back to being the old boys network with, you know, everyone. Where's that guy? Where's this guy? He's not in the seat.
Well, but has telework been maybe substituted for the fact that we have access to phones? You know, a phone that is the equivalent of a computer power that was 10 years ago is maybe that has, you know, in all the apps that all integrate now, and you can, you can have whether it's Salesforce or some cloud-based app with all your client information, everything right there at your fingertips and forms and click and done and sales, and it's very easy.
Well, you have to be in the office.
Oh, they're saying you have to, teleworking is dead and you have to be in the office. Is that the second part of this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe Marissa Meyer, and before I didn't put this in the column, but Meg Whitman was another big promoter. Now, some guys have said, and I kind of agree with this, that this is just a scam to fire people.
Make them quit.
Yeah.
Make them quit because they have, you know, you were teleworking, you were 500 miles away, and that worked out really well. But now you have to be in the office at 9.
Yeah.
A little bit tough. All right, let's finish off with this little tidbit, and we'll get to some of the other stuff afterwards, and we'll talk about the stocks in a moment. It seems that a Washington man, every time I see these stories, but it looked like there's a lot of background on this and reported by a variety of different sources. A Washington man has been put in jail after plotting to hire someone to kill his wife and 4-year-old daughter. By the way, asshole. Police say they were tipped off of the plan after the man accidentally sent a text message to his former boss instead of the hitman.
Yeah. Yeah. A genius.
and by the way, it wasn't just a quick, okay, we ready to go? You're good. No, it wasn't that. It was like, okay, do this. If you could do it by Friday, we still have the $1 million life insurance policy on her and $500,000 on the kid, and make it look like an accident. I mean, he was like, idiot.
Yeah, he outlined the whole process. And then he sends it to his boss. Yep. What an idiot.
Yep. All right, let's get over to the stocks, and you can find all the stocks and what's going on with these on a live updating spreadsheet over on dhunplugged.com. And it will give you the percent gain and the entry price and the symbols and what show it was on, and all sorts of great things. You can find that under the weekly stock tips or stock ideas on the top and on the side. There's all sorts of places to click it. So go over to DH and Plug and check that out. And this is not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any sort at all. Horowitz Company, John C. Dvorak, or myself may own any of these securities we talk about. We will mention that as well. If you decide to do something with these, please do us a favor and go and find professional financial advice to kick it around a bit before you do it, because you could lose a lot of money here and we don't want to, you know, have any blame, et cetera. If you make money,
yeah, we got nothing to do with it.
Right. But if you make money, it's all of our hard work and, you know, we're geniuses.
That's right. Well, that's a fact.
Yeah. Now let me.
All right, what have we got here? Boy, I'll tell you, this Barclays pick was the best.
The best.
Up 61%. It's really only in 7 months.
It's amazing. The banks are on fire.
I will say that also my insider pick on advanced emissions solutions, which I tried to pick twice, is just cranking away.
Yep, it's doing really well. I'll tell you one thing that bombed. When I say bombed, that's not even the right word. So I think I forgot that earnings were coming out the next day, but okay, whatever. So the Brinks came out.
Brinks.
Oh, did they not only beat, the stock was up.
Yeah, you shorted it.
Oh, it was ugly. It's up like, thank goodness we got out. That's the benefit of the stops. I think it's up 20% from.
Yeah, I would call that a bad pick.
Bad pick, which is pretty interesting after the discussion we had. You know, about but they did really a great job in the stock. One of the things, I'll be very honest with you, I looked at it and I saw where it was and it was on a tipping point. It could break out if it did get a good earnings. And I thought that it was a kind of obsolete. And I said, don't forget, I said, I'm not really thrilled about this, but it's the game. I'll throw it on. You know, it was just an idea.
I don't remember that part.
Well, I'm telling you, because I know for a fact we didn't short it over here. We didn't do anything live. It was on the game. Okay. But anyway, your advanced emissions doing great. Resolute Energy doing great. Kinder Morgan doing great. Facebook down 3%. Retractable down. Brinks was stopped at Calavo Growers, the avocado company, where we're looking at avocados across the border, was up 3%. Macquarie? How do you say that? Macquarie?
Infrastructure? Macquarie, I guess.
I'm going to pick Under Armour this week. The stock has been beaten up so badly. And I'm thinking that it may have a little bit of a bounce opportunity here.
Okay.
So I'm just throwing that out there. What do you got?
I've got a couple of things I'm looking at, but I'm going to go with this one for sure. I did it before. I'll do it again.
What's that?
WBA.
Oh, you're going with the Walgreens again. The Walgreens boots.
Yeah, this guy's buying it like nuts. He's bought $10 million worth. One of the insiders. Let's see who he is. He's not the CEO. He is the co-chief. He's the co-chief OO. He's a COO. And he doesn't do a lot of trading, and he bought a shitload of this stock. So I'm figuring I liked it before, and it was good. It did make a dipsy-doo, which is they all do. And I like it now, so I'm going to get that. And I had another one I was looking at. If I can get back to this page of notes. This is I'm looking at – well, Murphy USA seems to be – somebody's picking up some, but it's not that much. I'm not going to get carried away. And AMC looks like a good – I think AMC – I like the AMC idea. AMC Entertainment, the movie guys.
Yeah, those are ripe for – we've seen this before. They're ripe for consolidation.
Yes, and this thing took a huge dive just recently. It took a knife drop. And it's way down. It's way down below its highs. I think that would be a good one to just follow.
All right, let's take this here.
There is an insider that bought some, but I just think the thing might look like a rebound candidate.
All right, let's go here. I think there was something. I'll put this down as rebound candidate.
Rebound. Yeah. Although it's the CEO buying, so it's always you have to wonder.
All right, got that. Okay. Okay, we got all of it. All right, I think we're. I think that's good.
All right, good.
By the way, the chat room seemed to work. Everybody in the chat room, did we see a lot of applause? It worked out pretty well, I think, tonight. We had had to do some changes on the JavaScript and some other stuff to make it work. But it looks like there's no bog downs. Everybody's in. There's plenty of people in there, plenty of people talking. So thanks a lot, everybody, for joining us there. And, of course, next week you can listen live as well. Just go over to... DH Unplugged and click on that little icon when it comes live.
Okay.
All right. We're going to put it. I have a new way of making sure that the outro music comes on at the right time. Here we go.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.